Someone gets up at the pulpit and everyone gets really quiet really fast. Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2. If you want to pull out the Bibles in the pews, it's on page 833. Beginning with the 41st verse. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of the travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of the Lord. So it's been a very busy few days. Some of you may have noticed it was Christmas on Friday. There were just a few worship services here. Saturday, if you're in the Western Church, it's a feast of St. Stephen's. Or if you're Eastern Orthodox, today. That will come back to haunt y'all in a few minutes when we get into the rest of the sermon. And yesterday was also Boxing Day. How many of you know what Boxing Day is? Who can explain Boxing Day? There's several different explanations, but yes, Boxing Day, and it's England, and therefore Canada and Australia, any place that has British roots, except for us, spends time on Boxing Day. Well, we'll tell you in a minute. We'll get to some. There's a secret there. Thank you. She's my shill in the front row here. All right. So today we read in Luke about Jesus in the temple. He's now 12 years old, so we're going 6 years per day. And he is, I want to focus not on the hiding from his parents and that stuff. I want to focus on the very last verse, which went like this in the NRSV. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Or as the Message puts it, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Or in the version that I'm most familiar with, the NIV, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So 12 years in 2 days. This passage sometimes is used to talk about growing up in the faith and how important it is to raise your kids in the faith, which I think we all would agree with. And they've pointed to this, but they also ask the question, what does it mean to grow in wisdom and stature? One of the things that is evident from this scripture passage is that Jesus' parents took him to Jerusalem every year. So he was raised a faithful Jewish kid. But still, what does it mean to be growing in wisdom and stature? One commentator put it this way. Growing in wisdom and stature means to develop the capacity to discern God's desire, wherever you may find yourself, and to respond accordingly. Let me repeat that. The capacity to discern God's desire and to respond accordingly. Now, we just spent the season of Advent talking about A Christmas Carol. And one of the things that we learned from that, I think, amongst several things, is that whereas institutions may not change, people do change. In the case of Scrooge, he changed an awful lot in one night. Probably more than Jesus did in 2 days. But the point is, he changed. In this case, he was growing. Grew in ways that he was probably stretched, in ways he was uncomfortable. But he got to a place that he was very different than he was when he began. Some of the institutions of his day are part of the reason why we actually have Boxing Day. As I understand it, one of the thoughts of why Boxing Day exists is that the wealthy, well-to-do, would give a box of gifts and treats to those less fortunate, usually those who worked for them, or other people in the area with need. And so that kind of resonates with this idea of discerning God's desire and responding accordingly. Another example I'm going to draw from the turn of the first century, around 900 AD. How many of you here are of Czech background? Anyone? Oh, we're so German. We're so German. We're so German. Okay, well, so my lead-in for the carol that we're going to sing right in the middle of the sermon, because it's the story of Good King Wenceslas. So at this point, I would like you to break out your insert. Hopefully everyone got one of these. And we're going to sing all the verses, because again, I'm in charge, of Good King Wenceslas.
King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou know'st a telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? Sir, he lives a goodly Kent, underneath a mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes' fountain. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear him thither. Page and monarch, forth they went together. Through the rude wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. Sir, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing.
I had to give you an insert because it's not in the hymnal. I didn't know until this week really why it isn't. It turns out there's nothing about Christmas in here. yet it's sung at Christmas time because it talks about this event happening on Feast of St. Stephen, which is either yesterday or today, depending on what part of the world you live in as a Christian. Is anyone familiar with the story of Good King Wenceslas? So he was a young man raised by his Christian grandmother in a fairly war-torn, racked part of Eastern Europe that is now the area of Czechoslovakia. His mother was not a Christian. His father died when he was 12. His mother took over. He stayed living with his grandmother. His mother got mad about that, sent people to kill his grandmother, And he grew up to continue to be involved in war events. And at the age of 22, on his way to Mass one day, his brother killed him. Yes, kind of gruesome, kind of conflict-laden, but in the midst of this, this man lived as such a pious person. He was known far and wide, and I do mean far and wide, as being educated, intelligent, pious, and humble, to the point where four biographies of his life were written in England alone within 100 years of his death. That's how impactful his style of involvement. He was not a king by rank, but Pope Pius II actually said, because this guy was such a great leader, we're going to make him honorary king because he's the model for what a good king should be. Hence the name Good King Wenceslaus. So, having said how much he cared for the poor and those in need, in the midst of the travails and struggles and conflicts of his day, might lend us some insight into what it might mean for us, because our times are no less troubling today, are they not? We find wars that we don't understand the roots of. We find attacks from terror, trying to create terror and fear and anxiety and being very effective at that in many, many regions of the world. We find refugees seeking freedom from that terror in numbers that no one country can handle, leaving many, many parts of the world. We see hatred being spawned on ethnic and religious lines. We see politics that are less than friendly. And the economy is not exactly going strong. There's lots of worries about jobs and future and whatnot. All kinds of things that would make us very difficult to see perhaps what is in fact ways in which we can do the kinds of things that align with what God's desires are. And yet, in the midst of that, I have seen in just this last week several pieces of evidence that I think do in fact in my mind point to such alignment with God's desires. There's a story of a child in Dallas, you may have seen this on the internet, who came home, her mom came home from school and found that she was hoarding her possessions and food because she was afraid she was about to be deported. I see some people shaking their heads. And when her mom said no kid should live in this kind of terror on the internet somewhere, hundreds, literally hundreds of military personnel across the world have sent their pictures and their words of reassurance to her under the hashtag, I will protect you. And now she's sleeping much more calmly and much more comfortably since that. We see stories of a high school football star in Tennessee when a random shooting is starting, throwing himself over three children to protect them from the fire, he himself dying. We see stories of Kenyan Muslims in Kenya on a bus refusing to identify the Christians on the bus, lest they be killed by the terrorists that have stopped the bus. We see pictures of Eastern Orthodox priests in Kiev, Ukraine, standing between warring factions on the road, literally in the fire of the bullets, stopping the violence. Have any of you heard of the Compassion Collective this last week? Several writers banded together to try and raise some money to help with Syrian refugees, and they had two things that they said. One is, no one can give more than $25, and two, all $25 will go to helping with aid to the Syrian refugees. In 31 hours, they raised $1 million. And we know from our local areas, food banks and reaching out to those less needy, the parties with the LSS and helping with the foster families. There are lots and lots of ways people assist those in need. Sometimes it can be difficult to discern how to provide that need and what that might look like. I struggle with that. And when I do, I turn to the words of Thomas Merton in this prayer you may have heard of. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost in the shadow of the death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. My hope for this Christmas season for you, both within the season and beyond, is this. May we, like Jesus, continue to grow in wisdom and stature. May we develop eyes that discern God's desires and respond accordingly. And may we, who now will bless the poor, shall ourselves find blessing. Amen.